Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 1. I'd like to speak on the church's global mission strategy. And everybody in Baptist circles, we know Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We also know Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. But this is what the Holy Spirit's directed me to preach on. And I'm going to try to convey my burden tonight. Before we preach, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you'd calm my heart. I pray that by thy Spirit you'd work upon hearts. And Father, help us as we think of this whole topic of missions, simply to ask the question, well, what's my place? What's my place in missions? And what should I be doing with the talents and gifts that you've given me? And Father, I pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Acts chapter 1, we'll go ahead and read through verses 1 through 8. The Bible states, "The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Now here's verse 8, very familiar verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus' disciples met with him, and you notice the first question they ask him. Jesus is getting ready to go up in the ascension. They're not going to see his physical presence anymore. So they ask Jesus some diagnostic questions. They ask Jesus, first of all, are you going to restore Israel to its former glory? You know, you came, you're the Messiah. Are you going to assert yourself as king now? And Jesus told them that it wasn't time. In verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. No, there's a whole lot of Old Testament prophecies that needed to come true before the second coming occurs, where Jesus establishes his throne in Jerusalem. And Jesus keyed in to his disciples, and he's going to tell them what they need to do. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, our proposition tonight would be, you must find your place in global missions. You must find your place in global missions. And within Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, I want to try to answer tonight four simple questions about global outreach. These are reporter questions, okay? Simple questions. What, how, where, and who? Tonight, point number one, let's answer that question, what? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible states, But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. They shall be what? They shall be witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus didn't say you ought to try to be a witness. He didn't say you should be a witness. He said you shall be a witness. Now our trouble is when our shall be turns into who me. I remember working at Estes Design up on Shadeland when I was going through Bible college. And I would meet guys at work. They'd hire on. I'd been there a while. Punching holes in stainless steel. It was a good job at a The company president was a Christian. And And God would just bring people across my path that I could witness to. At that point in my life, I didn't know what God wanted me to do. And it frustrated me. You know, I kind of wish God would speak from heaven and kind of let me know what He wanted me to do. But He never spoke from heaven. You know, He conveyed His will through His Word. But in your life, the word witness here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the New Testament word that the translators translated witness is actually the word from martyr. It's a word from martyr. We think of a martyr as someone like Joan of Arc who died for a noble cause, but we're all to be witnesses. We're all to be martyrs. I think of a guy in St. Andrews. His last name was Hamilton. Wishart. His last name's Wishart. And there's a GW in the cobblestones there in St. Andrews. And I always wondered, well, why are these initials here? And you'd see cars park on top of the initials. You know what he was? He was a Greek professor. He started teaching in the book of Romans that the just shall live by faith, and they killed him. They killed him. Because at that time, Scotland was a Catholic country. But he said, I don't care. This is true. And no matter what happens to me, I'm going to proclaim the word of God. And he gave his very life for the cause of Scots coming to know the gospel. You know, as a martyr, you are to surrender your life for a greater cause. For that, this means we are to be willing to yield the control of our lives to Jesus in order to bring others to Jesus Christ. I was handing out tracts one day with Dave McCrory, another missionary that your church supports. Now he's in Canada. I wish he was back in Scotland. We had a good time working together, just serving the Lord together. But God has His means and ways. But we're handing out tracts one day, and it can be discouraging. You know, it was a cold day. I don't think I had gloves. So what you do is you'd rub your hand like this, the friction, warm your hands up. We're handing out tracts, and we ran out of tracts, and we went into a small bus cafe, and we got some tea and some chips. French fries to you guys. And we poured brown sauce. You can't get brown sauce here. Brown sauce on those. And we prayed. But before we did, we were looking for a table, and there weren't any. And in Scotland, customarily what you would do is you'd go to someone else's table, and if they had two chairs, you'd say, do you mind if we sit here? And they will be real polite, and they'll say, sure. Scots are very polite people. And Dave and I sat down there, and we're eating, and the guy could tell instantly we're Americans. Okay, all you have to do is say one word, and they know you're an American, because Americans smile too much. Okay, they're just too happy. They've had it too good in life. And this guy said, I notice you guys are Americans. What are you doing here? And Dave said, well, I'm a minister, and he's a minister. And we're with Calvary Baptist Church in Glenrothes. And we were out handing out gospel tracts so that people could read that tract and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this guy related a story to us. He said, you know, when I was a boy, I went to that Church of Christ church in Glenrothes, and we had a softball team. And he said, and the pastor set up games for us. But one day before the game, he said, guys, if you're going to play another game, you need to be baptized or you can't play. He said, I can remember, I couldn't understand why he's asking me to get baptized. And that guy, that pastor, had them all get baptized before they could play that game. This guy wasn't a believer. And you could tell he had bitterness in his heart toward that guy for making him do that. And Dave and I, we didn't get to lead this guy to the Lord, but it was no accident that all the other tables were full. There was two chairs, and we got to share the gospel with this guy. You know, we are to be what? We're supposed to be witnesses. Now, my job in Scotland, I can't convert anyone. What I do is I give them the euangelion. I give them the gospel. I tell them that Jesus loves them. I tell them that Jesus died on the cross for their sin. I tell them if they would have been the only person on earth, Jesus would have died on the cross for them. And the joyous times in my life as a missionary is when someone gets it and you can tell that the Holy Spirit's been working on their heart and they say, I'd like to do that. And they get down on their knees and they trust Christ as their Savior. And I get the joy as a pastor of being able to baptize them. You know, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in newness of life. And, you know, we don't get a lot of souls, but every soul that we get is precious, and it's precious in the sight of God Almighty. And the rest of the week, I'm buzzing. I'm buzzing because I had the joy of leading that person to the Lord. What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be witnesses. Secondly, the Bible tells us the how. We're supposed to minister in missions by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power. The Greek word there would be dunamis. Dunamis. We should minister under the power, the influence, and the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can read about this in the book of Acts. But this moment-by-moment surrender, it's called dependence. It's a hard, hard thing to do, isn't it? It's a hard thing to yield over our life to the control of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because we have that old man in there that wants to do what it wants to do. But in our Christian lives, as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. What's the next phrase? But Christ liveth in me. You know, when I'm knocking on doors, and sometimes I have to drive around the neighborhood a while praying to work up my courage. I know you guys are different. I know you can pray and go instantly to that door and start knocking on doors by yourself. Now you're like me, aren't you? Now I have to drive around, and my prayer goes something like this. Don, it's God. I'm tired. God, it's Don. I'm tired. Help me now as I knock on these doors. I'm scared. Just give me courage, Lord. And what God will do, He'll give me that courage that I need. I'll go up and I'll knock on that first door. And then I'm okay. After I knock on that first door, I'm okay. And then I can get going. I get into my pattern. You know, and you're walking, you're knocking, you're trying not to think about it, or you'll get scared again. Does that sound like you? I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. You have to depend upon the Holy Spirit, or you'll never go out on calling. You'll never go calling. You'll never go on visitation. Why? Because you're scared. You're afraid what someone else may say to you. You'll never witness at work. Why? Because you're afraid of rejection. It takes that moment by moment dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And then you know it's not your eloquence. It's not your reasoning abilities. It's the Holy Spirit giving you that courage. And then what's the next thing? He gives you the words to say. He guides us in what to say. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. The next statement by Christ, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Now, this was under a martyrdom situation, but I've experienced this where the Holy Spirit infuses me with power that I didn't have before. I'm just a normal guy. Okay, I argued with God. I went to Ludlow, Kentucky, and I lived there a year out of Bible college. And I said, God, you have the wrong guy, wrong number. And God, you know what? He knew I was in Ludlow, Kentucky. And he kept bothering me. He wouldn't leave me alone, calling me into His service to give my life to Him for the rest of my life. And the best decision I ever made in my life was surrendering what I have to Him. Laying that on the altar and say, not my will, but thine be done. You know, not only does the Holy Spirit give us the words to say, okay, what does He use? He accesses the hard drive of our mind as we've been having our devotions. He brings that to our mind. And God's Word's like a what? It's like a sword. Okay, it pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, doesn't it? I've seen God's Word work. And it's incredible. Secondly, the Holy Spirit goes before us to prepare the way. You know, not only does He give us the words to say, but He works on the hearts of those to whom we go. One day, it was a cold November day, and I'm systematic, just something about my nature. And let me explain what Novembers are like in Scotland. A lot of times you'll wake up and it's overcast. And since we're so high up on the latitude, in summers, you know, the sun doesn't go down until like 10 o'clock at night. And it's just bright. It's wonderful. Summers are wonderful in Scotland, but you pay for it in November. Sun goes down in November at 3:30. Okay? So I was taking a former charismatic guy that I was having a Bible study with that left the charismatic movement, that started coming to our church, and his sister started coming, and his brother started coming, and then his brother started coming. Some of them got saved, and I had the privilege of baptizing them. Amen? And him and I, he didn't know his doctrines. He didn't know. I couldn't let him preach at our church because I couldn't trust what would come out of his mouth. You know, he wasn't grounded in the faith yet, but I wanted to teach him how to soul win. You know, I wanted to teach him how to witness. And I'm systematic. I start at number one, and I write it all down. I don't want to miss any doors. I keep records of where I go in visitation. But it's like the Holy Spirit was impressing upon my heart to skip a couple of streets, and I don't do that. Okay? I don't know if it's my German heritage or what. We do things a certain way in the Dillman household. Okay? And it carries over into our calling. I said, okay. And Tommy and I went up, and we went to number one, because I always start at number one. But we're two streets up, and I never go up two streets. I always follow the map. I don't want to get messed up. Knocked on the door, and this guy answered, very polite, high forehead, pretty extensive vocabulary. He was no dummy. And I'm talking to this guy, and he goes, yeah, my dad was a Baptist. And I'm talking to him some more. And he says, my mom's from the Highlands, and she is a free Presbyterian. He got the gospel time after time after time when he was young. But you know what the tragedy of Calvinism is? They didn't confront him with the gospel. They kept expecting God to zap him. Okay? You know, if he's going to be saved, he's going to be saved. Real fatalistic. You know, why didn't his dad say, son, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Would you like to know? They never said that. As a result, this guy grew up in a Christian home. He wasn't a Christian. So I said, you know, I said, I'd love to take you through a Bible study. It turns out his mother's deaf and she's blind. And he communicates with her through Helen Keller type communication. He quit a degree in education so that he could stay home and take care of his mom. And then you have an American missionary knock on his door. I set up a Bible study with this guy and I was able to lead him to the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit directed us on that November day to knock on that door. And this guy is still coming to our church and still a blessing to our heart. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. True missions is carried out in following the biblical precedents in the book of Acts, but also under the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, where? And all missionaries love this, to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. Jesus spoke of the disciples being witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. To win Jerusalem, the disciple only had to go across the street. But to go beyond their own neighborhood, they would have to go across the globe. Israel's not a big country. It's about the size of New Jersey. Okay? St. Andrews, the city in Scotland, was founded by a Catholic monk who supposedly brought over the martyred bones of St. Andrew and brought them over to Scotland. And that's how it got the name of that city. You know, each and every one of the disciples, except one, gave their lives as a martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's a reassurance to us, isn't it? That what we follow is the truth, because if it was all fake, why were they willing to give their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ? Where to the ends of the earth? Chris and I received a check around Christmas one year. Somebody had been burdened to send money to help us in Scotland. And normally, I'd put that money in savings, okay? Because my Scottish blood, okay? My mom's side. But this time, I go, nah, let's go somewhere. So we got a cheapy holiday for 3 days, and we got a babysitter for the boys. Went to us to this place called Funchal. There's this island called Madeira off the north coast of Africa, and it's not far from Scotland. It's like a three-hour flight. They speak Portuguese on this island. We're only there 3 days. I get into the phone book, and I look up Baptist Church. There was one. So I call this guy up. I said, hey, we don't have a car. Is there any way that you could have someone in your church pick us up? He came in this micro van, just teeny van, took us to his church. You know what? He's the only Baptist missionary in that whole city. He was a missionary originally in Brazil, but he wanted to go where there was no missionaries. So God called him to Madeira. He's in this city. Guess how big this city is? Over a million. Over a million people, and he's the only Baptist pastor there. And in his prayer letters, he keeps telling people, you know, we need help. The guy's very articulate, very smart. He works for the American Embassy. You know, he's like a tent maker. He only gets limited support from the States. What I'm telling you is there are many, many, many mission fields, even besides Scotland, that need Jesus Christ. And our problem isn't that we don't know. Our problem isn't that we couldn't go. Our problem is, as we say, no, God, you must have the wrong number. If you're working on my heart, God, you have the wrong person. I went through that. It could be that God wants you to serve in a particular mission field, but what God needs from you is willingness. Let's get to our fourth point. Bible says who? A local church. Let's go to Acts 13. And with this, we'll have to close. Acts chapter 13. Let's read through the first three verses. Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, how do you like these names, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Now, Acts 13 is a beautiful picture of God's pattern for sending out missionaries. First of all, note who they sent out. They sent out people that were busy in the local church. They were busy in the local church. And what God does is God takes busy people that are effective in one geographical location, and He moves those people where the need is more acute in His kingdom. Now that's missions. And in your life, if you came up to me and you'd say, Don, how do I know that God might be calling me into missions? I'd say, well, you don't worry about that. You get busy in your local church, and God will let you know. God, by His Holy Spirit, will keep on bothering you the same way He bothered me. During my ordination, I was ordained, 4 weeks ago, and I'm still recovering from that. I studied about a year and a half. And they said, Brother Dillman, tell us about your call. Now, I believe in a call. You see, if I wasn't called to Scotland, I would have been gone a long time ago. I would have been in Florida. Yeah, I would have been golfing. I love golf. You know, I would have been taking it easy. I'd been serving the Lord, but I said, no, God called me to Scotland. I was in a Baptist history class. The professor lectured on the great need for churches in Europe. He talked about Dave McCrory. Dave McCrory was a visitation pastor over at Suburban. I knew Dave McCrory. He went to my Bible college. And then the professor related, you know, the hard time that Dave McCrory was having in Scotland. And the Holy Spirit burdened me to go over and help him. My first thought was, if this guy is having a hard time, why doesn't somebody go over and help them? The local church. The local church that I was serving at as a youth pastor while I was going through seminary, going calling every Saturday when I wasn't working at the meatpacking plant, when I wasn't going to seminary, out calling on Saturdays and on Sundays teaching the teens. And my pastor said, Don, we'll underwrite 10% of your support. We'll underwrite 10% of your support. God and Chris and I went to Scotland and God worked on our heart. But we are sent out of our local church. They expressed the willingness, looking at our lives, evaluating what we were like. They underwrote 10% of our support. Then we hit the road and God provided in a miraculous manner. And we've been in Scotland ever since. You know, when I was playing football at Clinton Central High School, my football coach would say, there's no I in team. My local church is twice they've sent the deacon over just to encourage me. He bought a cheap ticket on Iceland Air. He came and he went calling with me. You know, once they've sent their teens over, held a VBS. We had a balloon slingshot. Kids came from everywhere just to see this. Parked a van out in this big green field and you'd see all the Scots, these dour Scots, looking through their kitchen windows. Are seeing these water balloons going like this. Oh, no, I have fun as a missionary. I have a good time. And, you know, I'm blessed. But you, tonight, you know, you have some options. First of all, Jesus said to pray, didn't he? He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send out laborers into his harvest. Number one, we pray. Secondly, we're to give money so that others may come or go. You know, God gives us a good job. I was reading in my devotions today about Isaac and his prayer to God. And he dedicated, he said, if you'll go with me, I'll give 10% of what you give me back to you. You know, and that's a good pattern to follow. We can give our time to organize details, to help in outreach here in the local church. We can open our home to foreign guests, which I do in Scotland all the time. And lastly, you can go yourself. You can go yourself. You know, Jesus Christ has called us to serve Him. William Booth in 1861, Methodist preacher, said this, not called, did you say? Not heard the call. I think you should say, put your ear down on your Bible and hear Him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of hell. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity, and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go to the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their Father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. And then look Christ in the face and tell Him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish His mercy to the Word. To the world. Will you go tonight? Is God working upon your heart to serve God in a full-time capacity? You know, even if you're not called as a missionary, you know what? We're all missionaries. I worked here in Indianapolis for 5 years. I had the privilege of leading people to the Lord because the Holy Spirit would direct me as to what to say. He would bring me into certain situations that I knew weren't an accident. And even though I was in Indiana and I wasn't on a foreign mission field, I was able to lead people to the Lord. How are you doing in your missions? Do you know what part you play in missions here at this church? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you take your word and use it in our heart. And Father, I pray that you'll be honored and glorified. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.